Hi. The question was, what have I done to help my marriage, communication? My husband and I are also very different. He's a brain, I'm a heart. What I have done before I say a word, when I know we're at that wall of misunderstanding, which could go the wrong way, I stop and I pray, please God, give me the words, give me the actions, give me the heart to move forward, to make this moment successful for my husband and myself. And it has really helped.
You know, Suzanne, you are an example of what intentional living is all about. It's not complicated. We sometimes overcomplicate life. It's a matter of seeing an issue or a problem or something that could be better and just saying, here is one thing I'm going to do. And you're doing it. You don't know what the outcome will be, but you know you're doing the next right one thing. That is intentional living. And today we're going to talk about communication. It's sort of a pickup on a program we did a while ago, part two, on this thing of communication in your marriage. You and your spouse are probably different. You got different love languages, as my friend Gary Chapman writes. But at the same time, if we can learn our spouse's language well enough to not only understand what it is, but be able to communicate in their language, it's a whole lot better off than forcing them to speak ours, right? I think that's true when we're in cross-cultural communication. It's true in the cross-cultural realities of marriage as well. So here's the question for you today. What do you need to say? How do you need to say it? How are you communicating? What do you do to read your mate, to understand your mate, to communicate with your mate? Share it live on our comment line. 888-888-1717 is my number. We have from our archive some great calls ready to go on today's program already. But again, the comment line is wide open to you at this moment. Love to have you participate by calling 888-888-1717. You've heard me mention one of the granddaddies of Christian counseling, Norm Wright, wrote a book many years ago that became a bestseller called Communication is the Key to Marriage. And he was right. It is a key. It's a key not only to marriage, it's a key to most relationships. One of the problems we have in our country today, we just can't communicate. We communicate, but we're not really connecting with each other. Communication is more than just noise. It's connecting at the heart level. So let's get going. Melissa's on the line. Got a question for me. Melissa, hey, welcome to the program. How can I help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. About communication, and I'm listening, or was listening, I'm wondering, I have some things I'm unhappy with in my marriage, I guess, and I just want to know how to approach several different issues without making it sound like everything's wrong and I just want to give up.
Yeah. Do you guys have times where you talk about things?
You know, when that is another issue, I guess, we don't have much time because we're both working always and have a four-year-old.
Mm. Well, like you said, you got a long list, it sounds like, right? You got a lot of stuff you're concerned about. And you know what? He may not have a list at all. I find this to be the case. You may have one partner in a marriage that has a long list of concerns, and the other one, I don't know. You know, I'm doing okay. And that can feel overwhelming. And so I tell people one thing, the power of one thing, maybe set a couple days a week, couple nights a week where you have a half hour, and during that half hour, you agree just to talk about something important, maybe one topic, and when the clock is done, you're done. Because sometimes, when I've seen this in counseling with people over the years, so many times it's the guy who feels pretty overwhelmed with communication. He may not be as skilled at it when it comes to some of these emotional issues and feels like, man, once I get started, it's going to be overwhelming. So pick one topic, have an agenda, give opportunity for both to speak and share, and I hope you both do. And then in the process, when the clock is up, you move on so you don't get stuck. Okay, let me go to Ann is on the line in Georgia. Ann, welcome to Intentional Living today.
Hello.
Hi.
I just joined the program, and I just felt led to pull over in the Cracker Barrel parking lot and call because a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to your fundraising thing, and it's like, of course everybody needs everything y'all have, but I don't need those CDs or whatever. Well, I found out my husband has stepped out on me the second time in a 14-year marriage, and it seems like the same thing from before. He's not being honest with his feelings, and I'm way in your face honest. And anything I suggest, it might make sense, like be careful where you hang out as in, at work, because, you know, your position, you know, blah, blah, blah. He takes his controlling. I am a little controlling, but he also perceives good sound advice, analytical stuff as controlling. So he just keeps it to himself. We go for an ice cream and he forgot about the argument. So how we don't communicate. I get loud fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me see if I understand, Ann, what you're, because you said many things
okay,
there.
Go ahead.
I heard you say he stepped out on you, meaning he's been unfaithful to you in the marriage. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just discovered, and I just said I want to stay with you. I don't care what. He thinks I'm an idiot.
So he thinks you should be leaving him.
Yes, he thinks there's no such thing as the kind of love that I have for him.
Hmm.
I'm weird.
Well, I think you're hurt. And I think he's hurt, and I think that the two of you have got to come to terms with, do you want to make this marriage work or not? I can tell you this, that biblically and in the practical terms of relationships, you can't have three people in a marriage. You got two people in a marriage, a husband and a wife, and until there's a decision to say there is no one else, we're going to make this marriage work, and we turn toward each other. All the attempts to make a marriage work won't. And I would move beyond where you guys are at this point and find a counselor, a pastor, and just lay the proverbial cards clearly on the table face up. I respect your love for him and the fact that you want to make this marriage work, but there also needs to be accountability. We can't have other people in a marriage relationship. It just doesn't work, according to Scripture, and I would think that people listening would agree who've been through this. It doesn't work. And so my encouragement to you, Ann, would be to talk to your husband from the standpoint of, you know, I want to make this marriage work, but we can't have other people in this relationship. If you're committed to working on this, let's do this together. Let's find a counselor, a pastor, and begin the process to rebuild our marriage. But if you don't, in other words, just assuming things are going to get better, they don't. In fact, unless we are making the effort to see a change, change doesn't occur. I tell you what, if you'll hang on, I'd like to send you, I want to send you a copy of my book. Sally, I'll get your address in a moment. And we're going to send you a copy of my book, Starved for Affection. It's a book that has some practical exercises in it as well for couples that I think you'll find very practical for you. We'll be praying for you. I'll tell you what, I haven't seen couples get into deep holes when they trust God, willing to forgive and rebuild their marriage, not come out the other side stronger. So it's possible for you as well. All right, I gave you three questions to ask. Number three question I'll get to in just a moment. Again, if you want to share a comment with us, you can do so on our comment line at 888-888-1717. It comes right here into the Intentional Living Center, and press number two.
Hi, this is Erin, and every day I try to, when my husband gets home, to meet him at the door and to kind of make it exciting for everyone and bring everyone's attention to the fact that the head of our family's home and what a great time it is. Every day when he gets in, let him know how appreciated he is.
I just wanted to let you know that I have been very, very blessed with my husband of 45 years. Every day we both make intentions of saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and have a terrific day and a kiss and a hug and however you are, I love you no matter what. Just wanted to let you know. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hi, I just wanted to leave a message about what I think is probably the most intentional thing we ever have done for our marriage, and that is that we take time to pray together every single morning, and we've been doing that for almost 23 years, and it's amazing what happens in your marriage when you're both just completely there before the Lord together. All I can say is it's not only was it intentional, but it's a life-transforming and a marriage-transforming thing. So, God bless everybody. Bye.
Are you making intentional choices every day? If the answer is yes, you've probably seen God doing some amazing things as you focused your life on Him, and we'd love to hear about it.
I wanted to share with you what it means to have intentional living for me.
And I'm being intentional by praying for people who have needs daily.
How are you choosing to be intentional with your life? Tell us about it when you call 888-888-1717 and encourage others with your story of intentional living.
Today, forgiveness.
What's that you're listening to?
Oh, it's a podcast from Dr. Randy. I missed the show yesterday. Just pulled it up while I had a few minutes.
You? A webcast? I remember when I had to show you how to check email.
Well, I figured if I have to be on the computer, I might as well get something good out of it, right?
Hear a show you missed. Find out about events and conferences and share your story at the Intentional Living website.
Forgiveness is
can you show me how you found that?
Just go to theintentionallife.com.
Here are three don'ts for improving marriage communication. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. As I was writing this, thinking about how to communicate in marriage, I was thinking, hey, here are three things that we ought not to do if we want better communication. First of all, don't jump to conclusions because of familiarity. If you can finish the sentence of your spouse or you've already come up with an answer because you're so familiar with what they're going to say, you've missed the point of being a good communicator. Number two, don't look away when your spouse is talking to you. There's power in eye contact. God created that to look into, as some people say, into our very soul. And number three, don't automatically try to solve your spouse's problems. I chuckle because I often do that and it's wrong. It's not the best way. What do you think? Those are three don'ts for improving marriage communication.
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
Communication is what we're focusing on today. It's one of the keys to a healthy marriage. Marriage communication is so important that we don't learn how to do it. Let's face it. How many times have you been to a communication class? When you were in school, maybe you went to a speech class where you learned how to make a speech, right? But I can't think of a place where you went and just learned how to communicate. Let's just learn how to talk and communicate, and which is such an important part of life. And so as I sat down, I created a list of the top 10. I call them the Intentionals for Marriage Communication, which I think we're going to have up on the website, right? You can get it through our broadcast highlights today at theintentionallife.com. But the first three are questions. What do I need to say? If every time you approach your spouse, you're going through a tough situation, something important that needs to be said, you've thought in advance, what do I need to say? In other words, picking your words carefully because you know there are powerful words that can be misunderstood. And then secondly, how should I say it? Speaking your words carefully in order to avoid unintended consequences. One author talks about softening the startup, meaning that, you know, as a bull in a china shop, sometimes we can run right in and start, I got something I got to tell you. And the person you love is they're thinking about doing the laundry or something, you know, and all of a sudden you got some big topic you want to talk about. To really soften up how you're going to start, say things that are really get both of you on the same page. And then three, when should I say what needs to be said? Timing is critical. Have you ever noticed the wrong thing said at the wrong time can be really negative? But even a difficult thing said at the right time in the right way, set up in the right way, can be handled more easily. We're human beings. So those are three questions. I think you get those right, it's going to improve your relationship for sure. Hey, we appreciate your comments. You leave so many on our comment line. We thought it'd be good to share some with you. Take a listen.
I love intentional living, and my husband and I, one thing that we've been working on to help our marriage succeed is communication. With he as the head of the family, you know, he really puts himself in a position to be the giver of his love, and then me as the recipient of the love, and that has opened up our lines of communication. We've also made a move towards natural family planning, which has just opened up so many more doors for us. It's all about just being open to each other and being willing to give as well to receive. And I appreciate you guys so much, and God bless. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for sharing. I was thinking as you were sharing that, our friend Gary Chapman, who's written this best-selling, I mean, the simple little book, really, The Five Love Languages, and Gary's been on our program several times. I don't know, it sold like a gazillion copies, I don't know. And I think the reason it is, if you've read the book, it's a very simple book, but it shows that this is a big issue, that we all have different ways of connecting with each other in marriage because we have different languages of love. And for some, words are really critical. Others, it may be gifts or acts of affirmation or service and different kinds of things. But if you're married to a person who has their love language about the words that are said, you need to be really aware of that, because how you communicate is going to be very significant to make that marriage work better and stronger, for sure. All right, Shirley's left a comment with us as well. Take a listen.
Randy, this is Shirley Blair, and I was wanting to tell you that years ago when my husband and I first got married, we had a disagreement, and we agreed to disagree. So what was so funny about that, well, we were married for 34 years, and I can't tell you now what that was ever about, and we totally forgot it. And he helped lead me to the Lord when we first got married, and I wanted to say he did pass away 5 years ago from Agent Orange, but he was such an influence to me. He was a very good Christian man, and we had a very good Christian marriage, and I just wanted to say it's very important to talk to each other and have it settled before you go to bed every night.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're to be angry but don't sin. It's an interesting verse, actually, to be angry and don't sin. It's kind of like those are juxtaposed. How in the world can you be angry and then not sin? Well, anger, in other words, is an emotion God's given us. It's part of life. In fact, if you have difficulty being in touch with your emotions, be concerned. I mean, if you can say, I've never felt anger, or I've never felt joy, you're just flat all the time, and you're married to someone who has this emotional range, that can create a problem. But that verse goes on to say, be angry and don't sin, and don't let, you know, the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, deal with it at that very moment. All right, this is good. I appreciate your comments. We got more coming up as we talk about the power of intentionally communicating in marriage.
If I could do one thing to improve my marriage, it would be to take the time to listen to the Holy Spirit when my emotions start running high, and what that normally means is I'm not getting my way, or things aren't going as I expect them, or I'm a little tired. If I'd only take that time to listen, I know things would be better, not only in my marriage, my relationship with Christ, and with the other people around me.
My husband and I, one thing that we've been working on to help our marriage succeed is communication. With he as the head of the family, he really puts himself in a position to be the giver of his love, and then me as the recipient, and that has opened up our lines of communication. It's all about just being open to each other and being willing to give as well to receive.
Communication is the key to marriage, but following through with one thing is the key to making your marriage work. Hey, if you just joined me, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. We're committed to one thing, and that's helping you really experience what God's intention is for your life, for your marriage, your family, your finance, your work, your health. It's a lot better off than living in the world of regret and procrastination and hurt and scatteredness and weariness that we see in our culture today. Intentional living is a community where we find people happier, frankly, more contented, more peace, more freedom by choosing to do one thing every day, at least one thing every day. And by the way, if you're willing to jump in today and say, hey, I've got a one thing challenge for myself for the next 30 days, what would it be? And if that's something you're committing to, I'll tell you what, just to come alongside and be a mentor and a friend, I'll send you the one thing wristband from our ministry. And it's free, and it's just a way of encouraging you. We've got a limited supply and budget to do this, but if you've got a commitment of one thing, let me know what it is, and we'll get it to you. How do you do that? Just come to our website right now. Go to theintentionallife.com/WB for wristband, and there's a little form there. You fill it out, and we'll get it in the mail to you. Wear it for 30 days. Maybe you'll wear it for a lot longer. I wear mine every day, but at least for 30 days, one thing every day. Follow through and see what difference it makes in your life, and then let me know. Again, go to theintentionallife.com/WB.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you.
This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
You know, I was thinking about this topic today, communication and marriage, and thinking about my wife, Donna, and myself. We've married a lot of years, and we've had times, I mean, come on, you may listen in and say, hey, he's got it all together, but sometimes we go home and they won't have it all together because we're humans too. And Donna and I have a little different communication styles. We all have expectations in communication, don't we? I say that I judge me by my intention, but I'm going to judge you by my expectations, right? And so that creates the dynamic that's a problem in marriage. And my wife is, she shares her expectations through suggestions. That's how she likes to communicate, suggestions. I'll give you an example. Here's a suggestion. You know, the garbage is supposed to get out to the street. That's about it. You know, it's not like, would you take it out? It's sort of a suggestion that maybe we should think about getting the garbage out to the street. And I'm a bottom line person tonight, so I'll tell Donna, just tell me, you want the garbage out to the street? I'll take the garbage out to the street, you know? We don't have, like we go out to eat. I mean, after all these years, we go through the same pattern. Where do you want to go? I ask her, where would you like to go? She says, I don't care. And I found that the woman does care. I mean, she really does care. And so my goal is to try to figure out what she cares about that night to see if I'm right. Because then I'll say, well, let's go over here. That doesn't sound very good. Okay, so I know she cares, but she's not going to tell me. And so to be able to communicate, sometimes you have to laugh at this too, because we can make big things out of little deals. And if you can understand the fact that it's intention and expectations that get us into trouble, if we can just clarify, is this what you expect? Is this what you intended? I think those are two great questions. Is this what you expected? And is this what you intended? Because if we can get those clarified, it will build healthier relationship in marriage. Appreciate your comments. Kathy has shared a comment from Missouri.
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm from Missouri, and I just wanted to leave a little message about communication. And my husband and I were married for 11 years prior to becoming Christians, and the interesting thing we learned in Bible study was the 4:32 rule of marriage, which it's Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. That works wonders in communication and marriage.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because when I do a conference in marriage, I'll often camp in Ephesians 4. We'll start about verse 23 and go through 32, because in those, 8 or 10, 12 verses, Paul unpacks really five really powerful things. First of all, about our thinking, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be angry and don't sin, our emotions, be active with your hands, in other words, working, using your hands, the behaviors that we have. He says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Isn't that interesting? He puts all of these things together. And corrupt communication doesn't always have to be vile or blasphemy. Sometimes it can be corrupt in terms of, just like in a computer, you get a little corruption in there, it destroys the whole program, right? Just putting things into your communication that corrupts the relationship. And then, as Kathy mentioned, Ephesians 4:32, that we forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us. I think we have time. Can we share a couple more? Let's hear from this caller with a comment.
I have a question. I've been married for going on 4 years, and there are certain areas that are very touchy to my husband, and I feel like I cannot ask the question. If I ask the question, he gets real upset. It can be basically anything. And then if he asks my opinion, I'll tell him, no, I don't want to tell you because you just get mad. And he'll push it and push it, and I'll tell him I'm a very easygoing, laid-back person, and he can get angry real quick. So everything else is going great and fine. I'm 57, he's 58, and I don't know how to handle this situation. We've had counseling once. Things went well for quite a while, and back to the same thing. I think there's some issues there with him. Not sure what to do.
Well, I don't know what you all talked about in counseling, but do that. because it sounded like whatever you guys talked about then worked, and you had a time where things were better between you and you could communicate and resolve issues, and whatever that one thing was, I'd go back and I'd resurrect it and start it over again, or go back to that same counselor and say, hey, we need a refresher course here, a little rejuvenation, a reset, if you please, to get back on track, because whatever that one thing was, it works. I will say this, sometimes when you know you got a touchy topic, coming along with questions, it's sort of like you're setting yourself up for failure, because you know when you ask or you state something, it's going to be an issue. There's another approach, knowing what your husband is. If he's a head person, a heart person, you kind of must know what the issue is and have some idea of what the sensitivity is about. And I think taking the approach of, this is a concern for me, I love you, this is something I wish we could talk about and get some resolution to. If it's some issue that he's facing that's not really affecting you, but you want him to change, that's a different story. But if it's impacting you, you need to talk about that, your wants, your desires, your concerns. But just simply asking a question sometimes, I think, can set off sort of a cascade of a reaction from someone that you're not looking for. In other words, just like sometimes we push the button on our kids or our kids push the button on us, don't do that. You know, that old thing that we used to say, right? When it hurts when you do that, well, don't do that. And so coming with a new approach can be more positive. All right, we're talking about communicating with your mate today. What one thing have you been doing that's been making a difference? If you're a head person, primarily a thinker, that's the way you view life, and you're married to a heart person, a person that's a feeler, how does that impact your relationship? Because as a head person, sometimes we can appear to be uncaring. As a heart person, we can sometimes appear to be illogical to our head person's spouse that we love. Which are you, and how does it impact your life? You know, there's one thing you can do to be intentional in this area, and that's to talk about it, to get on the same page and understand these differences and how they can impact your relationship. This really matters. It's more than just an interesting topic of head, heart, and hand, because if you're a head person primarily and you're married to a heart person primarily, you know the battles that can occur, the unspoken words, the misunderstandings, and so on. And since we're talking about communication today, what a beautiful segue that this topic on the windows to the world, understanding if you're head, heart, or hand, can be transformational in your marriage. If you're a member, you're going to receive this automatically. New members joining us today will get this to you. Can I encourage you to play this entire teaching with your spouse, talk about it, laugh a little bit, learn a little bit, discuss head, heart, and hand, decide which one you are, which one you tend to be, and how it impacts your marriage. I think it'll be encouraging for you. Come and join the monthly support family of Intentional Living today. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy. Thank you for joining me today. Love your feedback on today's program. Share your comments at 888-888-1717. Love to hear from you.